Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your radio evangelist, bringing you another program of Christ Exalting Ministry, and it's called The Voice of the Gospel. And friends, it's my privilege again today to open the Scriptures and to read several portions of God's Word. And I hope that you who are listening in today will give heed to what the Word of God has to say. You know, these are days when it's quite difficult to get people to listen to God's Word. They can talk about world and national politics. They can talk about sporting events and the energy problem and entertainment. And they can talk about their jobs. But try to talk to people about their soul's eternal welfare, and they'll use every means possible to change the subject or to get away from listening to you. Now, why is this? Well, first of all, they are blinded by the devil, the enemy of their soul. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, here's what we read. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Another reason, I believe, is because the word of God brings conviction. Yes, they're convicted before a holy God of their spiritual condition. In Hebrews 4 and 12 we read, the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, as I say, most people don't like to hear the word of God. But friend, God's Son makes the alternative quite clear. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus Christ says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And if we were to turn over to Revelation chapter 20, we would read of the terrible great white throne judgment before which every unsaved person must stand. And there in Revelation 20 and verse 12, we read that the books are going to be opened. And friend, if you die unsaved, you'll be judged on the basis of what you've done with God's Son and God's Word. So with that solemn thought in mind, I appeal to each and every one of you listening in today to please pay attention to what the Word of God has to say. Yes, just sit back and listen to what your Creator has to say about you as a sinner and what He has to say about His Son, Jesus Christ, being your Savior. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely hymn, and it's entitled, I Love to Tell the Story.
Jesus and His love. sing, to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Well, friends, I can say of a truth today that I love to tell the story. And I thank God since June the 2nd of 1952, I've been telling the wonderful story of redeeming love. Yes, I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel all over the world, and everywhere I go, I love to tell the wonderful story of how Jesus Christ, in love for sinners, came down to this sin-cursed earth and died on the cross for our sin. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee afresh that we have a story to tell. We thank thee, our God, for the redeeming love of thy beloved Son, who went all the way to Calvary's cross, and there shed his precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. We thank thee for thy love and mercy and grace expressed in him. We thank thee, too, our God, for extending the day of grace, so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to tell forth the wonders of thy love. Father, we pray that today there might be someone out in radio land that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to and bring before them their need of a Savior, and may they close in with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, even today, before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, today, if you would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading in four separate portions of the Word of God. The first is found in the Old Testament book called Job. Job 36 and verse 18. Job 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. I'll repeat that. Job 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he, meaning God, take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The second scripture in the New Testament, John chapter 7 and verse 43. John 7 and verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. John 7, 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. The third scripture, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, and I'll begin reading at verse 30. The Apostle Paul is preaching in the city of Athens, and on Mars Hill, here's what he says. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And now for our fourth and final scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, and the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, here today I've read you four separate portions of the Word of God. And each of these scriptures had one thing in common. Yes, each of them had the word because in the verse. Now in the first scripture, Job 36 and verse 18, we read, because. because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Friends, there are many people today who don't like to hear this voice of the gospel broadcast because, as they say, you preach too much about the wrath of God. Well, I must confess that I do speak quite often about the wrath of God, although I usually remind the listener that the wrath of God is only forthcoming if the sinner rejects the love of God. In other words, God is not a God of wrath unless his creatures rebel against his love, which was manifested in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:36, we're told, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Again, in 1 John 5:12, we read, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And even in that beautiful love verse, John 3:16, the wrath of God is brought before us as the consequences of not accepting God's love. Listen to this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, friends, I believe that you'll agree with me that the wrath of God was vividly expressed in the great flood of Noah's day. Now, some people may feel that God's love was what drew the 8 souls into the ark of safety. But let's see what the Bible, the Word of God, has to say. In Hebrews 11:7, here's what we read. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things yet not seen, was moved with fear," not love, "he was moved with fear." Oh, listen, friends. Noah was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his house or his family. Listen, the sinful, rebellious, and depraved heart of mankind cannot respond to the love of God apart from the Holy Spirit of God and apart from the realization that to reject God's love is to invite God's wrath. Yes, friend, you have a choice to make today. It's either accept the love of God expressed in his Son, or else you'll be the recipient of God's wrath. Friend, listen. It was the fear of God that caused Noah to build the ark. It was the fear of God that caused Lot to leave the sinful cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the fear of God that caused the Israelites to kill the Passover lamb down in Egypt. It was the fear of God that caused the publican to cry out for mercy over there in Luke chapter 18. It was the fear of God that led to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 and the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Yes, my friends, and it was the fear of God back on June 2, 1952, which caused me to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And were it not for the fear of God's wrath, a sinner would never accept God's love. Listen, my friends, when the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, reveals to you your helpless and hopeless condition in God's sight, when you realize that you're on the broad road going down to the flames of hell, then you'll accept God's love. Then you'll be in a hurry to get saved, and you won't be worried about what others might think either. In Proverbs 9:10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Unfortunately, many people fear their fellow man, but they do not fear Almighty God. Well, we read in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare," it's a trap, "but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now let's take a look at our second text for today, John 7:43. And again we read of another "because." "And there was a division because of him." Yes, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has brought much division amongst mankind. In fact, there are homes into which this program is now being broadcast, and it's a divided household. Perhaps the wife is saved and the husband is still unsaved. Or perhaps the mother is saved and the children are yet outside of Christ. Yes, there's a division because of Him, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember how shortly after I was saved, I sought to tell my best friends and relatives about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, my friend, they didn't want to hear about salvation. They didn't want to know what was in the Bible. They didn't want to hear about the blood of Christ. No, our relationship had changed, and there was a division because of Him. I wanted to talk about my newfound Lord and Savior, but my friends and relatives had no time for eternal verities. And friends, I know children of God today whose hearts are literally, they're breaking because those who are near and dear to them are still unsaved. They've never trusted Christ as their own and personal Savior. My friends, regularly, down through the years, I've received lovely letters from dear saints of God who want me to join them in fervent prayer to God on behalf of their unsaved children or unsaved husbands or wives. Yes, there is a division because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saddest part about it is the fact that this division goes on into eternity. And if the unsaved loved ones die without trusting in the blood of Christ, friend, they'll go down to hell. Yes, they'll weep and wail and gnash their teeth forever. And I'm sure that every born-again Christian listening in today is burdened about the spiritual condition of their loved ones because we realize the seriousness of going out into a lost eternity. Over in Luke chapter 16, we read of that great division which took place when the beggar and the rich man died. Yes, there was a great division because of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, as I said before, I believe that right now there are homes into which this broadcast is going and the household is divided because some are saved and some are unsaved. Perhaps the unsaved have heard the gospel many times and yet they refuse to bow the heart before God. Others may be listening in today and they're holding on to a false profession. They know down deep in their heart that they've never really experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Perhaps they have intellectually received Christ, but they have never been broken down in humility before God on account of their sin. Well, friend, God is quite clear in His Word, and He tells us that there must be conviction of sin before a person can be saved or converted. And let me add that salvation is not simply giving a mental assent to given historical facts either. As I may have mentioned many times on previous broadcasts, I was preaching the gospel long before I got saved. Yes, I had an intellectual knowledge of salvation and of the cross work of Christ. But friends, I had never experienced the deep, heartfelt conviction brought about by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And I'll go a step further and say that if there's a professing Christian who has never experienced the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, and you're listening in today, well, friends, you're not saved at all. No, you're being deluded by the enemy of your soul, the devil. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your spiritual condition in God's sight, you'll remember it as long as you live. It isn't something you can easily forget. Oh no, once God the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to show you you're lost and perishing and going down the broad road to hell, friend, then and only then can you be a candidate for God's salvation. Now that doesn't mean that we should worship and experience. Oh no, but when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, you'll never forget the experience. Friend, you may not remember the day or the month. You may even forget the year you got saved. But you'll always remember whether you were 12 years of age or 20 years of age. Whether you were in your bedroom or whether you were in a church or listening to the radio. Yes, friend, salvation is real. And if you can't remember when and where you got saved, then it's quite obvious that your so-called salvation wasn't worth remembering. Now in our third text for today, we have another important because. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, we read that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because. because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Friends, here we read that God wants the sinner to repent. Why? Because he has appointed a day of judgment. Yes, God has offered salvation through the blood of his Son to those who are yet unsaved, and he has warned the sinner to repent or else suffer the consequences. And that means the great white throne judgment and the ultimate lake of fire. Now, friends, this day of terrible judgment is only awaiting those who refuse to accept the love of God which was expressed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was the one who died on the old rugged cross as our substitute, as the propitiation for our sins. In Isaiah 53:5, we read, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. My friend listening in today unsaved, can you not put your name where we have the word are? He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you can be healed of that dread disease called sin. Listen, friend, there's no good reason for you to face the terrible judgment of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ bare your sins in his own body on the tree. And if you'll acknowledge your sinnership in God's sight and repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then, friends, you'll never have to worry about the wrath and judgment of God. Oh, no. In 2 Peter 3:9, we're told that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, God is a God of love, and he gets no pleasure out of seeing his rebellious creatures go down to a lost sinner's hell. In 1 Timothy 2:4, we read that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, in the time remaining, let's take a look at our final scripture text for today, and that's Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. There the Lord Jesus Christ declares, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. You know, there are a lot of people today who rejoice because their names are written on a church roll. But unfortunately, their names have never been written in heaven. I read in Revelation 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. You know, many people these days are very religious, and they're depending upon their church rituals to get them into God's heaven. But friends, listen. Religious rituals will never save your soul. No, my friend, their souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. Friend, you must have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that can only take place when you, as a lost, guilty sinner, repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, remember this, sinner friend. Church membership, religious rituals, trying to keep the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule will never gain you entrance into God's heaven. Ah, no. Ye must be born again. You must be sheltered beneath the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. But friend, please don't put it off. No, if the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to your soul today, if you're not sure that your name is written in heaven, then, friend, make sure right now. Right now, not tonight or tomorrow or the next day, because tomorrow may be too late. Yes, the day of God's grace may come to an end at any time, and, friend, your chance for salvation will have ceased to exist. In Proverbs 27:1, we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In Hebrews 4:7 we read, Today if ye will hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Again in 2 Corinthians 6:2, God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, don't put it off. Please don't procrastinate. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, there are many souls down in hell today, and they had expected to be saved or born again someday. In Proverbs 29:1, God says, "He that being often reproved and hard of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So, friend, right now, humble yourself before God and simply place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Yes, whoever you are and wherever you may be today listening to my voice, look by faith to Calvary's cross and accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. We thank thee for thy grace that called him forth from heaven above to go all the way to Calvary's cross and there shed his precious blood that cleanseth from sin. Father, we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. So we pray, our God, that even now someone out in Radio Land is trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Yes, my friend, if you would like to have some gospel tracts and other literature, I'll send it to you free and postpaid. You send me your name and address, and I'll send you some good basic and fundamental gospel literature. You just write to me, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again is The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.